knows me now, and he died for me. He loved me then, and he loves me now. Oh, how can it be? He saw my face. He knew the place I would be today. He knew me then. He knows me now. Some people say that he died one day, but that was long ago. Well, I'm sure that he was a very good man, but me he did not. Listen, my friend, what I say is true, that he knew me, and he sure knew you. He knew you then, he knows you now, and he loves you. He knows you now, and he died for you. He loved you then, and he loves you now. Oh, I know it's true. He saw you. He knows us now, and he loves us still somehow.
Dear friends, I'm introducing Dr. Walter Martin. He was one of the best teachers exposing cults. He founded the Christian Research Institute and created the well-known radio program about various denominations. Hank Hanegraaff took over the ministry, calling it the Bible Answer Man. Today's program will be by the late Dr. Martin, called The Baptism of Boldness. There will be 4 15-minute talks each during the month of March.
Always. You know, the word boldness doesn't mean what we think it means today. Boldness isn't intellectual or physical arrogance. Boldness isn't snobbery or I know something you don't know, you poor jerk. You know, some Christians talk that way to people in the cult. They don't use exactly those words, but by the time they get finished with them, the people are humiliated. And they don't even want to talk anymore. They're so hurt. We forget sometimes that they're not enemies. Our warfare is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual rulers of the darkness of this age, against wickedness enthroned in the heavenlies. That's the war. That's the battle, not the people. They're just pawns in the chess game of satanic conception. You and I are working for the chess master. And if we do what we're supposed to do and make the right moves, and if we'll speak the truth in love, but for God's sake, speak it, God may permit us to lose some of the battles along the way, but I assure you on the authority of Scripture we are going to win the war, and that's all that's necessary. With all boldness, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. What we're seeing here is God calling the church to holy boldness. You know what the word really means? Confident proclamation. That means having the courage with confidence to tell it like it is. Reaching forward and outward so that people may understand, that they may see the challenge of the gospel of Christ, and that we really care as Christ cared. Now, I'm not finished. I said I'm speaking on the baptism of boldness. I am. I'm a charismatic. I don't like the word because it's come to be caricatured as somebody who runs around trying to convert everybody to speak in tongues. I couldn't care less about that. I am interested in what is the history of the Christian church. My doctoral thesis is in the first 5 centuries of the Christian church. I am an authority on church history in the first 5 centuries. Let me tell you something. The gifts of the Holy Spirit were there in the first 5 centuries, and don't tell me they weren't. They didn't go anywhere during the Dark Ages. They didn't hide during the Reformation. And they are here today. It is an unsafe thing to tell the Holy Spirit that he cannot do something. It's almost like discussing the existence of God and his presence. It takes an extremely dim view of it. Do all prophesy? Do all speak in tongues? No. Not everybody has the same gift. But the scripture does tell us that if we're going out to do warfare against the forces of darkness, we had better have a good working relationship with God, the Holy Spirit. We better know our theology, we better have reasons for our faith, and we better be filled with the Spirit. Now on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. A marvelous gift was manifested. And then after that, all of the 9 gifts of 1 Corinthians 12 appeared. With power as never before. But something else happened. And I'm so sorry that charismatic preachers and evangelical preachers always stop at Acts 2. And they never go on to Acts 3 and Acts 4. Because they were baptized, that's the word, baptismos, in the Holy Spirit as Jesus had prophesied. And the word is baptized. I don't care whether you use baptized, in do. I don't care whether you use promise of the Father, arose by any other name, will smell as sweet. You're dealing with synonyms in Greek anyhow. I don't care what you call it. But something happened on the day of Pentecost that never happened in the history of the world. God breathed gifts into the body of Christ they had never seen before. And it turned the world upside down by confirming the gospel. They not only preached the gospel, the gospel came not in word only, but in demonstrations of the Holy Spirit and power. That's what shook the Roman Empire. The power of the gospel and of the Holy Spirit who confirmed it with signs and wonders and gifts from the Holy Spirit in accordance with his own will. Not ours, his. Now I want you to look, as I close, at God's answer to our problem today, the baptism of boldness. You'll find it in the 4th chapter of the book of Acts. In the 3rd chapter, a man who was impotent, could not walk, 40 years, begged alms. We all know the passage. Peter said, "Silver and gold, I have none." He was a Southern Baptist minister, John. "But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk." And immediately his ankle bones received strength, and he leaped to his feet and ran into the temple, leaping and praising God. It's a miracle. The power of the Holy Spirit, the gift of healing, manifested with power, gift of miracles. Well, the establishment got upset. You'd think they'd run around Jerusalem saying, praise the Lord, glory to God. Look at this wonderful healing. Look what God did. Isn't this marvelous? Uh-uh. They pulled these poor guys off the street and said, now listen, shut your mouth. They're going to beat you up. And you are not going to talk anymore in the name of Jesus. Then they had a little conference. They said, you know, a notable miracle has been done here. And there's nothing we can say about it. What do you think we ought to do? Beat them up. Threaten them, persecute them, not let them say another word. That was the reaction of the established religion of the day. Non rocabotus. Don't touch it. Leave it alone. But you know, Peter didn't stop there. He preached them a sermon in the mall, told them they were murderers, they killed the Prince of Life, and then he ended up with a very unecumenical affirmation. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby you must be saved, Jesus Christ. Uncompromising gospel. Now, you know, something happened. And that's really the core of what I'm saying tonight. Something happened in the minds of these people who were going to beat them up and persecute them. And it's worth noting what it was. When they noticed that this notable miracle had occurred, they saw, verse 13, the boldness of Peter and John. Ah, they were impressed not with their educational credentials because they were dolts by the standards of the educational world. They were not impressed by their status in the community. They stunk of fish and the grime of Caesar's Department of Infernal Revenue. Tax collectors. They perceived that they were unschooled and ordinary. Oh, that makes me feel so good. They looked at Peter and John, the son of thunder and the great preacher of Pentecost, and they said, look at these ordinary chaps. These unschooled clods. You know, it's marvelous. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You know what's the difference? They took knowledge of them because they had been with Jesus. They saw the boldness. And they listened to it. What did Peter and John say? You guys go out and shut your mouths and don't say another word. Peter says, I love his sarcasm. He had a great sense of humor. Well, whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more to God, you make up your mind. Get the translation of that? Buzz off. You want us to shut up? We're going to listen to you rather than to God? Buzz off. He wasn't too tactful. We cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard. Now notice this. A great prayer goes up from the church. And this is the prayer that the church made. Now, O Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness. You notice the repetition of the word? Boldness in Philippians. Defense of the gospel. Boldness here at the beginning of the preaching of the cross. They may speak thy word. Acts 4:29 should be memorized by every person in this room. That with all boldness we may speak thy word. By stretching forth thy hand to heal. And that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. Does that bring back memories to you? It should. Dr. Barnhouse once said, very interesting passage here. If you really want to face it for what it says. The place that they were meeting in was shaken just as the upper room. And they were all filled up with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. On the day of Pentecost, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and a few days later, they had to be filled with the Holy Spirit all over again because, as Barnhouse said, they leaked. You cannot get along on what you got from the Holy Spirit the day you got saved. You have got to be filled and refilled and filled and refilled and filled and refilled, baptized and endued. You've got to be. I'm not a Pentecostal. I don't believe you have to speak in tongues to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe any manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is proof we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. I am only crying out for a return to the days of the Reformation and to the theology of the Fathers and the New Testament. Enough of all this nonsense. Let's fall on our faces and cry out. Come in the wind, come in the earthquake, come in the fire, come in the sound of stillness. Come as thou wilt, O Spirit of God, only come, come, come. I need everything I can get from the Holy Spirit. I'll take anything He'll give me. Somebody says, would you speak in tongues? If He gave me the gift, hallelujah. I've laid hands on the sick, and I've seen the lame walk, and the deaf hear, and the dumb speak. Don't tell me God isn't doing it today. I've been there. He's doing it. Now the question is whether we have the boldness and the aggressiveness to seek from the Holy Spirit, not it, but Him. And if we will do that, and if we desire spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel for the glory of God. The place that they were in was shaken, and they were baptized in boldness, and they went out and preached the word of God with confidence, with assurance, and with boldness. You know, I can't close on a better note than this. There's a great hymn of the church, but somehow or other, we don't sing anymore. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward then, ye people. Loud your anthems raise. See those banners go. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. Onward then, ye people, loud those anthems raise. Gates of hell will never against the church prevail. We have Christ's own promise, and that cannot fail. A noble army, men and boys, the matron and the maid, around the Savior's feet they stand in robes of light arrayed. They face the tyrant's brandished steel and the lion's gory mane. They face the fires of a thousand deaths. Who follows in their train? He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Obey Him. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen.
Friends, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and wish to be in the rapture, say this prayer with me right now, okay? It will be available on cephas-radio.com in case you can't follow it. Cephas, cephas-radio.com. Our Father, who art in heaven, thank you for giving up your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who was the only one who was without sin, and able and willing to take the penalty for all our sins by shedding his blood, so we can be assured that he paid the penalty in full. He said the following before he died on the cross: "It is finished." God, Father, I humbly come before you and ask for forgiveness for my sins. I repent of them. I wish to become your child, born again of the Holy Spirit, who will be my teacher, my comforter, and my connection to you, Father God. I believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of God. I wish to make him my Lord and Savior forever. Amen. This commitment will change me, and goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23:6. Remember, God is in control and allowing his word to be fulfilled when the time is right. Our assignment is to keep you informed as to not be deceived. Satan comes in a perfect coat. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Mark chapter 13, verse 22. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. The elect have the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Jesus taught in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Time is up. Celebrate our 25th anniversary with us at CephasThriftShop.com. CephasThriftShop.com. We are selling our inventory at a 90% discount. Books, DVDs, CDs, and etc. The DVDs and CDs are originals and new, and the books are described. Join our monthly newsletter free at go-cephas.com. My email address is r421@earthlink.net. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends about us. God bless you, and hope to share with you next week. Shalom, Rita Williams.